is very little out of the bulletin that I need to bring to your attention, except after Mass this morning in the place of the prayers, at the Leonine prayers, we will have the blessing of the Saint Blaise blessing. And those of you who received it earlier, have no fear about receiving it again. Twice is always better than once. And I think that's about the main thing. Also attached to this week's bulletin are the usual Lenten resolution, the Lenten readings, and the Lenten regulations, if you wish to call them, suggestions concerning the fast and the abstinence. And read that very carefully about the seriousness of the fast and the abstinence. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air. But I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, today is Septuagesima Sunday and the beginning of the Lenten observance. I regret that I do not come down here as often as I did, and it becomes increasingly more difficult, not for any reasons of physical or anything, but other things get in the way. But by the grace of God, I have been coming to you for 18 years, and that's a long time. And during those 18 years, there's been a lot of water over more than one dam. And we take it as such. But there's one thing that I can say, and I think those of you that were here at the beginning 18 years ago, there's some few of you still left. Most have gone the other way for whatever reason. But in those 18 years, you that have been here can say that I have always been consistent. It is not telling you one thing today and telling you something else tomorrow. The thing that we have to keep in mind is our holy religion, and that we cannot reduce our holy religion into an intellectual syllogism. It is nothing if we are going to look into the intellectual, to the arguments, to the debates, to the this, to the that, to the last thing that we have read, then our religion is subject to the last thing that we read or the last thing that we heard. This is not our religion. Our religion is faith. Our religion is belief. And once we have come to the realization that this plus this equals this, why talk about it anymore? That we settle upon it. In too many instances, I'm not gossiping because you have the foggiest idea of what I'm about to say, but one of the pillars of our traditional church in this country, for whatever reason, in the last few weeks, an old man has sold out. And this is discouraging. It's disgusting. But when we come to believe something, my beloved people, as these athletes are doing, if they want to run the race, if they want to get the prize, they've got to be consistent in what they do. And they put away things that are unessential. In the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which we are about to enter upon, what must be the center of our concern in this passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our concern has to be himself. But too many of us, and we're taught this elsewhere or wherever, we're taught to center our attention on the nails, on the cross, on the crown of thorns, and we forget all about Christ. We get so lost in the symbols that we forget the reality. And this is why sometimes it is easy for us to take the wrong road. My beloved people, Christ has to be the center of our attention. And we have been taught, and I remember in my first days, 18 years ago, I too, because I had forgotten some of the things that were Catholic. I'd always tried to be a priest, never wondered about that. But some of the things I had forgotten. And I went to role models that said things. And I accepted these things because I had forgotten where the emphasis was. But by the grace of God, as time went on, I began to ask myself, but that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem correct. If I am to run this race, if I am to win this prize, it seems to me that this is not leading me in that direction. There's something out of whack. Until I had to find out the hard way the things that were out of whack. The faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is penance, mortification, reparation, fasting, and such like. These are the things that we have to remember more than anything else. All of the other externalisms that have been put in the place of these things are at least on an equal par with these things, are of no consequence. It behooves me nothing to know all of these trivias. And oh, that's one thing that we have to be very, that we must appear learned. And so we know all the trivias that we have placed and made to be important. I'm not going to be tested when I face Almighty God on how many trivial things I know about my religion. But I will be tested on how I believed. I will be tested on how I observed. And I can truthfully say from sad experiences that a lot of our traditional people have the feeling in their hearts or their minds or wherever that all they have to do to make the gift acceptable to God is to put it on the altar of tradition. Not so, my beloved people. Not so. There is a lot more to it. Because the ones that place it on the altar of tradition on Sunday, look at them on Monday. And it's time that we started worrying about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. How we live. And the things that we do that truly make us Catholic. The sensus catholicus, the whole picture. We had a certain visitor in a monastery recently. And the visitor is interested in the religious life. And And the entire time that that person was present, that person spent in looking for, did he do this right? Did they do this right? Is this correct? When was this book published? And such garbage. And I dare say that the person was so busy looking for wrong thing or things that did not quite come up to that person's expectations that I don't believe that person had much time left to pray. That's not what it's about. And as a consequence, that person and anybody like that person is going to be so busy about the non-essentials that they will not ever be able to pray and to give honor and worship to God. And when they come to church, they don't look for the person of Jesus Christ. They look to see how things are done. That isn't religion. But this is what we have been taught. We have to forget that 18 years, my beloved people, some of you in here, some of you young folks were not even born at that time. And you can see things develop. And a lot of people that came here 18 years ago couldn't handle what we talk about. And for one reason or another, they're not here. But yet at the time that they were coming, they wanted it done this way, and they wanted it done that way, and they wanted it done this other way. And in the monastery, you'd be surprised at how many people, you can ask Father Francis, at how many people walk in and walk out, walk in and walk out. And the first thing they do, their heart, I had one particular young man, he wasn't in the monastery 20 minutes before this young man started giving me a litany of things that he expected to be found in the monastery and how the monks ought to do this and how the monks ought not to do that. And in general case, this comes through time after time after time after time. And you want to know something? Those people are gone. They're gone because they look at the nails, they look at the cross, they look at the crown of thorns, but they don't look at Christ. And this is where it all is. We have to put first, we're getting ready, you hear a whole lot today about the year 2000. What are we doing for the year 2000? We, those of us, are we giving our children what they have to have in order to cross or step across the line of 2000? I sometimes think we don't. Because if we did, every one of us, myself included, every one of us, they've got family. They've got family that is not here and will never be here. And when we see them, when we talk to them, what do? We meet them at the door with a list of arguments and with a list of papers and books and things that they need to read. Not so. They don't pay a bit of attention to us. What are we going to do? We have to start with prayer to begin with, and good example. We know, and you know, what I'm talking about. During this past year, I have visited in places, and this question has come up. It's not local to here. But folks, when are we going to get it into our craniums that we have lost the young people? Let's not put the blame on anybody else. Let's start with number one. And what should I do? What must I do in order to help the situation out? And the fact that once upon a time I brought all the oats and the finest of oats, I grew them myself, and I made sure that the oats were in the best of condition, and I brought them to the horse, but the horse didn't eat them. Why? We left something out. I don't know what. Somebody did something wrong. And our children are gone. Our brothers are gone. Our sisters are gone. Our mothers and fathers are gone. Our uncles and aunts are gone. Why? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. Why? And let us put first things first. We must understand what Catholic means. It's a way of life. It is not a system of things. Pretty vestments, pretty chalices, pretty books, pretty this, pretty that. That's not Catholic. And we're not here because of preference. We're here because we believe. And our belief has to be serious, it has to be well-centered, and it has to be something that others will look upon. This is not easy. Septuagesima is not easy. Lent is even less easy. And as we enter into these periods, let us enter in these periods with a feeling of accomplishment. And not at the beginning, like today, we put on a purple vestment. Easter Sunday, we take the purple vestment off. This is not, our life must not be such. Our life has to be something that is improved by what we do. We must learn to look at the humanity of Jesus Christ, something that we seldom do. We look rather at his divinity. It is the humanity that we must look to, because there is where the lesson is. And his divinity did not come to his assistance. We must not ever make that mistake, that the divinity of Jesus Christ came to his assistance as a human. If that was the case, then he was the greatest liar that has ever walked the face of the earth. And he would have outdone Lucifer himself. It would have taught us nothing. But Christ, as a human being, and as he went about life being a human being, in every way, shape, and form, he taught us. And when we forget this, when we forget the humanity of Jesus Christ, then we will see ourselves doing things and demanding things and acting things out that are certainly inappropriate. So I'm not fussing, I am fussing too. But you know, you do become a little discouraged at times, and life is short. And as I look back on those 18 years, as I look back on the last 25 years or the last 50 years, time is flying by. And people's lifetimes are going by like the flash of lightning. It is time that we put on the armor of light and we come to the conclusion we are going to die. Don't know when. Is what we're doing, is what we are taking care of, is what we are insisting upon, is this what we're supposed to be doing in order to save our immortal souls? This is all that matters. So my beloved people, I don't know if I'll see you before Easter or not, but I love you. And I love the fact that you're here. And I want you to love us. I want you to pray for us. I want you to pray that we will always have the grace of perseverance, that we can stand up when we see giants on all around of us falling over. For whatever reason, we say, we feel like little Davids, you know? Oh, the thing is, we don't have a slingshot. My beloved people, pray for us. We are consistent. We're trying to be consistent. We don't agree with the way some things are being presented today. All we can see is division, dissension, hatred, and consciences that are not at ease. This is not Catholicity. If this is what we call religion, if this is what we call worship of Almighty God, then I will have no part of it. And I don't want us to have any part of it. We must be simple people doing simple things for the simple Jesus Christ. Morning, noon, and night. And if other people want to have it another way, let them be. What did our blessed Lord tell us about those who refuse to believe after you've tried and tried and tried? Leave them and shake what? The dust off of your feet. These are dreadful words. There are horrible words, but they're the words that Christ himself spoke. And when they refused to believe, when he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, they walked away from him. He did not say, he did not argue, he did not debate, he did not try to convince. He used no word. Silence was upon his lips. And he let them go. He let them go. Let it not be so with us. And let us accept the responsibility that is ours. And it is a responsibility. It is a responsibility that we have no, that we are completely unable to get rid of, to shirk, or to put aside. He has touched us. And because he has touched us, we cannot walk away. And if we do, all I can say is God help us. May God help us. I do wish you the best of Easters. Prepare yourselves for Easter. Prepare yourself for Good Friday. Don't look at the cross. Don't look at the nails. Don't look at the crown of thorns. Don't look at Mount Calvary. Look at Christ. And look at the way he did it. This is what we must follow. Today, in today's bulletin, the little picture that I've got there, in today's bulletin, of Christ going up the mountain, carrying his cross. Look at all those behind him. And unless we pick up our cross like they did and follow him in the same way, up the same mountain, it is all gone. We have to go up Mount Calvary. Our children, my beloved people, please face this fact and reality, are going up Mount Olympus. And you know it. You know it only too well. And if these are children, our children, whom we have given our flesh and blood to, are going up Mount Olympus, what mountain will their children go up? So if I'm hot under the collar, I think I'm trying to make you hot under the collar as well. Because it is in bad shape. And we keep saying, well, maybe not, maybe not. You're just being a little negative. Think of the glass being half full. You keep insisting glass is half empty, half empty, half empty. The glass is about empty. And it's about time that we acknowledge the fact that the water in that glass is draining out very, very fast. look at your own children and their children and tell yourselves, as I'm saying, as I close my eyes, then you close your eyes. And you know, you absolutely know what is going on in their lives and what they should be doing, but they are not doing it. And the emphasis that they're placing on the wrong things. These are the ones we have to remember. These are the ones we have to be concerned about. So God bless you and keep you. And maybe this sermon will last until Easter time or whenever I see you again. But do remember, I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm concerned, because things are not going right. They're not. And I repeat, we place the wrong emphasis on the wrong things. One thing I'm going to tell you in closing, and I was criticized for this, but the ones who criticized came later and apologized. Put this in your thinking up here in your heads. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, no matter what anybody does, the Catholic Church will never again be what it was 100 years ago. And to think otherwise is a waste of time. And I put this to you. Suppose tomorrow morning the most wonderful, the holiest, the most orthodox, the most traditional, the most conservative, the most saintly man on earth be put in as Pope. How many traditional people do you think will go follow him and submit to him? You know that answer, my beloved people.